Hi, everyone. Dr. Sanjeev Goel from Peak Human Labs. And today I have a special treat for you. My close friend and Dr. Anil Maheshwari is with me. You may have already known him from our previous talk. We met about the Blue Zones a couple of months ago. So we're going to basically dissect another Netflix documentary called You Are What You Eat. And we're going to take you all through that. Today, we're going to divide that up. So today we're going to talk about the first two episodes. And then we're going to come back and give you the big reveal for the second episode. So again, just before we get started, we'd love if you could like and subscribe our channel. That's what keeps us going and gets us the visibility we need and make sure that people get to see our videos. So I really appreciate that. Let's get started. Anil, for those who don't know you, do you mind just giving a little background on who you are and what's your interest?
Yeah, so I'm Anil Maheshwari. I'm a family physician for 22 years. I've practiced in the United States and Canada, and now I'm pretty much limited to physicals, so prevention, and then also weight loss medicine, and which I also consider a form of prevention. But I've always been interested in exercise and diet and nutrition, and so these kind of shows that are on Netflix now are fascinating. They're endlessly fascinating. And this particular show is about vegan versus omnivore diet, and I think it's perfect for the two of us to talk about it because you are a vegan and I am an omnivore. So let's talk about it.
That's exactly it. You know, for you may not even know, I want to kind of put a little qualifier on vegan. I basically moved over to a plant-based diet when I was 17, but I do have egg whites.
Okay.
And, you know, and I do have whey protein.
Okay.
So I'm not going to call, I won't be fair to the vegan community if I call myself a vegan.
Okay. Well, how often do you have them? Out of curiosity.
You know, I could be having it pretty much daily. So I do have some egg whites or whatever. So if you call it ovo-vegetarian is what I would be called. I definitely don't have any milk products or really tried to avoid unless it's my mom's pizza.
Okay.
It's pretty much.
But yeah, you don't want to make her angry.
But, I used to be a lot more strict before. But over the years, you know, I've kindly moved a little bit because of convenience. But also because I still, you know, I do think that, you know, there are some benefits to eating eggs that would be difficult to get otherwise. So,
right.
You know.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, why did you move to a vegetarian or a plant-based diet at age 17?
Well, it's a little bit of a long story. I don't think any of my viewers know that.
Okay.
But I was on a trip to India on a houseboat.
Okay.
And I was asking for a piece of chicken because I love chicken curry, and they brought the chicken from the market in car with me.
Oh no!
The chicken that we were going to kill,
which
they did.
Okay.
And to be honest, I did eat it that day.
Oh, okay.
And it was tasty.
Okay.
But you know, I was just brewing in my mind over the next couple of months. Hey, I just don't like that. And I was reading Mahatma Gandhi's autobiography at that time, where he talked about, you know, treating animals and so on. And so it just began a journey, which at that time was really big with Diet for New America, which is a book by John Robbins, who's the founder of or heir to the Baskin-Robbins empire.
Right, right.
And Peter Singer, who was he started the whole animal rights thing with animal liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So there was at that time a lot going on.
Okay.
And I was one of those group of people who kind of started to move towards plant-based diet. Environment was a big issue at that time as well. But anyways, we're going to talk about some of that stuff that came up in the documentary.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about your diet. Is there like something, I know you're an omnivore, but has there been changes over time and how have you thought about your diet?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been changes over time. First of all, so I've been an omnivore all my life. And the running joke is that, I was a short kid and picked on at school. And I thought if I ate more meat, I would grow tall and big. And it only got to me to about 5'6". But I have changed my diet a lot during the years. In university, I also tried to go vegetarian a couple times, once for I think almost 9 months, I believe, and another time for about 3 months. And I found personally that I ended up eating worse when I was trying to eat vegetarian because what was available back then in the cafeteria was mostly cheese products.
It was basically for us French fries with gravy and macaroni and cheese.
Right.
Like that's what I used to get at the mess hall.
Okay.
I used to fight with the chef, the chief cook. Like I said, make me get some vegetarian food. And that's what, please have some French fries and macaroni and cheese for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like what I was eating. I was eating constantly cheese products and things like French fries. And I thought, this isn't much healthier than what I was doing
if
before.
If anything, it's probably worse. And I think that's the type of, you know, people think about a vegan diet as healthy.
Right.
But you know, I'm starting to think, put my mind around that it's not necessarily
exactly
the actual vegan or not, animal product or not. It's more about I'm starting to think it's actually processed or not.
Yes. Yes. And especially ultra processed.
Yes.
Not. Yeah. And there's more and more. I mean, even with this vegan culture growing and more companies offering vegan products, mm-hmm. but they're becoming more and more processed. Mm-hmm. And so are we going to run into the same problem we have already mm-hmm. with omnivore products, which are processed? And it's just, yeah, I agree with you. Processed, ultra-processed foods are probably our number one concern over actually the different food groups and all that
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so take us through. So this document, one of the things before, Netflix is coming out with some amazing stuff all the time. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of documentaries that are talking about food. I think there's another one called Poisoned, I think. But take us through this one, You Are What You Eat, and what was the premise of this experiment?
Yeah, so I think it's fascinating. They looked to see basically whether a vegan diet would have cardiovascular benefits that have been shown in some other studies. Mm-hmm. Would they show up in a specific group? And the group that they looked at is twins, which is really fascinating. So they took identical twins, 22 sets of them, and put one twin in from each pair. They put one twin into the omnivore diet and one into the vegan diet. And then over the course of 8 weeks, they would see what changed, things like cholesterol panel, mm-hmm. waist circumference, all of these kind of things, fasting glucose, fasting insulin. They wanted to kind of get an idea if the vegan diet would make a difference within 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And by eliminating the genetic variants, by having identical twins, it made it very compelling for me to see what this was all about.
Yeah, we do talk about this nature versus nurture and how much of the impact is related to our genes versus our environment. So I think the whole thing about taking these twins, basically removing that whole variable.
Yeah, you're removing
so,
the nature.
You know, I think that was it was a pretty good study in that way because
I think that is one of the study.
Yeah, nobody could argue that, you know, it was related to the genetics of these people.
Right.
Whether or not they had the impact or not. Because even between siblings, you may have differences, significant differences. But,
right.
But these were identical twins.
Absolutely. We all know. I mean, you can physically, you can look at siblings and you can see big differences.
Yeah.
And then you can also see based on metabolic parameters. For example, mm-hmm. I know that in my case, I look at my parents and I can see that I have my dad's genetic profile when mm-hmm. I look at my metabolic panel and I can see it's exactly like his, mm-hmm. whereas my sister or my brother might not have that. Mm-hmm. And that runs in every single family. It depends whose genes ended up being stronger in you, which parent.
Right.
And so you can have big differences, you're right.
And so in the study, they basically, for our viewers, they gave, so it was an 8-week trial, mm-hmm. and then 4 weeks they were given packaged food.
That's right.
And,
so breakfast, lunch, and dinner were all packaged.
Packaged. And 4 weeks they had to cook their own meal.
Right. And the second 4 weeks they were supposed to learn how to do it on their own, and then mm-hmm. and then they were not given any packaged food. And the interesting thing was, though, for even the first 4 weeks, they were allowed to eat snacks on their own that were not provided to them. So that could
affect
it a little bit. But really, I would imagine if you're controlling for the main meals, I think you should be okay.
Did they measure how much those snacks were? Like how many calories? Do you know?
I think when I looked at the study, I don't think I saw what the snacks were. I only saw they measured in the first 4 weeks, they told you exactly how many calories mm-hmm. Each person got because it was all packaged. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw, it was a difference over the course of a day of about 100 calories mm-hmm. between the vegan group and the omnivore group. I think the vegan group had about 100 fewer calories a day than the omnivore group, just based on those three meals. Snacks, it's hard to say.
But they're supposed to plan them out to be pretty much the same calories, right? They're meant to be that way.
Right.
Okay, so let's go through some of those outcome measures they were looking at. Right. I know they did some initial measurements. They basically took the initial measurements of those people. So one was, I think, a blood panel, complete blood panel, including LDL, cholesterol.
Entire cholesterol panel, so LDL, HDL, triglycerides, mm-hmm. and total cholesterol. They did fasting insulin, fasting glucose. They did not do, from what I recall, a hemoglobin A1C, the 3-month glucose average. But this was not a population. This was a relatively healthy population, so you wouldn't expect to see huge differences with the dietary changes. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason they chose not to. Mm-hmm. What else did they look at? Waist circumference, mm-hmm. blood pressure, weight, of course. And then they looked at something called TMAO, which I had never heard about before.
Yeah, what is that? What is TMAO?
It stands for trimethyl TMNO, nitrate oxide, I believe, or nitric oxide.
We'll come back next week.
Yeah, we're going to both
we'll do some research. We'll come back and do some research on what is this, instant inflammatory marker?
It's supposed to be an inflammatory marker that's supposed to be related to the breakdown products of an omnivore diet.
Oh.
And so their hypothesis, I think, was that you would have more of these, of this TMNO level in the carnivore group versus the vegan group. It's the first time, quite honestly, in 22 years of medicine I've ever heard of that acronym or that particle.
Let's just talk a little bit about some of these actually a little bit more details. So the DEXA scan, if you want to just talk about it. It is supposed to be the gold standard for measuring body composition.
Right.
And it's kind of like an X-ray.
Yeah.
In effect.
So in the weight loss program that I run, we actually do DEXA scans. It's an 18-month weight loss program. And we do DEXA scans at baseline, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. And it's fascinating the differences you see. So we can actually tell you how much muscle you've lost, how much fat you've actually lost. And it's great data because in a lot of the studies, they don't do this kind of stuff. And so you hear all this stuff online about these medicines are causing muscle loss and all that. We're finding that's absolutely not true across the board. What it depends on more is what you're eating. So are you getting enough protein and are you exercising? And so one of the good things in this study was also that they were not only making dietary changes, they were helping people to work out in order to hold on to muscle mass and build muscle mass if possible.
Yeah, they all were given a trainer.
Right.
Who apparently was a vegan or something. Is that right?
Yes.
Or I'm not sure if everybody got that trainer, but I saw it on the show.
Yes.
That the trainer was his,
was a
vegan.
A pretty big guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, just as an aside, there's many apparently Olympic bodybuilders who are vegan.
Right.
So it just tells you that, you know, that idea about that you need to eat meat to build muscle is
One of my preconceptions, I'll admit, going into this study is, okay, well, how are the vegans going to get enough protein? And that's a common question.
That's a common question for others.
Yeah. And so when you see a vegan bodybuilder, you think, huh, I wonder how he does it. What kind of supplements does he use? How does he get all that protein that he needs? And so I'm curious to see what the outcomes are going to be between the two groups in terms of did they build muscle? Did they lose muscle? How much fat versus muscle and all that kind of stuff. And I'm glad they did the DEXA scans.
Yeah. So, and one of the things about the DEXA scan is that it does show visceral fat.
Right.
So sometimes you might not see it on the outside.
Right.
But if you're, you know, losing fat, if you're able to change fat around your organs, it could have a lot of metabolic benefits.
Yeah. So what we see is that subcutaneous fat, you know, when you can pinch an inch around the waist, that's subcutaneous fat. But and cosmetically not appealing. But the more dangerous fat is that visceral fat, which is deep inside the gut.
Around the liver.
Can give you that looking of like a beer belly or whatever you want. But it's basically pushing out from the inside out and it wraps itself around the organs and it's metabolically really bad for us. I mean, it increases, there's inflammation that goes on, so inflammatory markers coming out increases our risk of blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes. And if it wraps around your liver, it's called fatty liver disease, which a lot of people have heard of.
Yeah, I see, see patients come to me and they have like a big gut, but it's like hard like a rock, like they have muscle.
Right.
So it's not even that, you know.
So they have that muscle over the fat.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically,
it's
like a barrel. The outside of the barrel is really hard.
Yeah.
But the inside of the barrel, who knows what's in there?
They have a lot of visceral fat.
And usually they have that visceral fat, unfortunately. Yeah.
They also looked at B12, I think, because, you know, there's this concern, you know, vegetarians or vegans are not taking enough B12 in. I guess they wanted to check on that.
And that is something I'm curious about, too. Did they see a difference within those 8 weeks? Because 8 weeks, let's face it, is a respectable amount of time, but it's not a long period of time. And we do all have stores of vitamins. So does it make a difference within those 8 weeks? I don't think that they were supplementing with any vitamins during this study.
Well, B12, we do have at least a month or two of stores probably. Even if we stopped completely, we would have enough. And then they did some other testing, including, which they didn't report, I think, in the study, but maybe for future papers looking at biologic age, DNA methylation, telomere length.
Yep.
And what's the last one?
The
microbiome.
Yep, they're looking at microbiome,
so
too.
So why do you think they were looking at microbiome?
Microbiome, for anybody who hasn't heard that term before, it's a super hot term, and there's lots of research going on for lots of disease states.
Yeah.
But microbiome is basically the bacteria in your gut. And so there are thoughts that there are some microbiomes that are healthier than others and some that tend to lead us towards disease. And so there's lots of, I guess, evidence out there that certain kinds of diets are better for our microbiome. And it's thought that a vegan diet, or at least a very plant-based diet, mm-hmm. is much healthier for our microbiome. Mm-hmm. So to me, it'll be interesting to see if they do see, within 8 weeks, has the microbiome changed? I'll give you a funny story about microbiome. I was just in India for about, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So eating completely different foods for 2.5 weeks,
yeah.
like almost vegetarian, almost plant-based, but not a healthy plant-based, what we were talking about, packaged foods and
yeah,
things like that.
Greasy fried foods probably.
Yeah. Some of it being unhealthy, some of it being snack foods that aren't good for you. And so one of the things that immediately happens whenever I go to India, maybe not for everybody, but I always get that, what they call the deli belly. I always get sick because they do have different bacteria in their water. Mm. And then they have different – then I have a feeling some of it has to do with how your microbiome changes completely.
Mm.
Not for everybody. If you go from here to India and you stay in a hotel and you're eating similar foods to here, mm-hmm. I'd imagine your microbiome's not going
to
change very
much.
If you go
to the village,
I'm staying with family and I'm eating completely different.
Off the street, you're going to get the
Well, no,
I know better.
Yeah, I try not to go off the street.
Yeah.
But even then, no matter what I do, only eat home-cooked stuff, only eat hot stuff, don't eat ice cubes, don't eat fresh salads, I still get, I think it's just the changes in my gut, the microbiome.
Yeah. Well, they say a lot, though, of your microbiome is set within the first 5 years of life. Yes, we can change it, and antibiotics probably do change our microbiome, but a lot of it is kind of set, given to us, you know, through the vaginal birth.
Right.
So I don't know how much is changeable, but I'd be interested to see what type of change happens.
I don't know if you've seen any data. I haven't seen any data saying how much of it is changeable.
Even probiotics probably aren't changing it a great deal.
Right.
It's a minor change that's happening, a minor shift.
Yeah.
You know,
I would think the biggest change is going to happen from a change in your diet. Like, let's say you were a carnivore and you became a vegan.
Yeah.
And which is why this study is so fascinating, to mm-hmm. see if those people that, in the beginning of this study, they're all carnivores.
Yes.
So,
which I thought was interesting. Like, why is it just the luck of the draw that none of these initial people were two vegans?
Right.
And one had to move over to become an omnivore?
That's a good question.
And the question is also, where did they get these people from? Most of them were like,
they were
like
from major, across the country, too.
Major meat eaters.
Stanford,
like some,
which is where the study's based.
Right. I was surprised how few people were knowledgeable about being vegan.
Right.
It's like, you know.
In the show, so the study is 22 pairs of twins. But in the show,
they're only showing like five.
Yeah. So that's curious, too. Maybe they were all omnivores.
They were more like TV friendly.
Right.
Could be that.
You know how they say some people only have a face for radio. These guys, they did not. They were good on TV for sure. And maybe that's why they were selected. Or maybe a lot of people don't want to be on TV.
That's very interesting. Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
But I wonder, you're right, were some of the people that were not on television, because I think they did all start out as omnivores, mm-hmm. but the other people that were in the group, were some of them vegetarian to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were any of them? I'm assuming that nobody was vegan, because then what's the point of doing the study with that particular set of
unless you
twins?
Can make one of them omnivore.
Right. How many people are willing to go direction?
Once you've gone vegan, you're not going to go back.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're already thinking about it and
they're like,
oh, sure, if you want to do it, let's do it. Yeah.
Which kind of one more thing that I know they mentioned, and I think they just kind of touched on it, with the idea of this, of the improved blood flow and sexual function.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw this thing. They kind of brought back a segment from Game Changers.
Right.
Which was, they showed that there, you know, the participants had better nocturnal erections when they had a plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
which was always, I was always puzzled by that how could that actually be?
Right.
My thinking is that it's probably due to nitrates that mm-hmm. we're getting from foods which are vasodilators.
Right.
But what's your thoughts? I know they put people through like to check on sexual arousal.
I have to say, I was surprised by that bit to the point where I was watching the episodes with my father-in-law, who's 79 years old, and I had to turn that off. I was like, oh, no. That was a bit
crazy.
Of a surprise.
They make him go into another room. And
yeah, they basically are watching pornography,
and
they have a lamp or they have a camera, but it's only sensing heat. And so it can tell if you've got more heat in the genital area, that means you've got more blood flow to that area, basically.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, that's how they did
this. So that's how
I was wondering
it.
How they actually analyzed this in women. So I guess you're saying it's heat.
Right. They were sensing heat. And then they want to see if being on either diet changes what happens with blood flow.
So what's your prediction? Not. I don't know if you've seen the results. I don't even seen those results already.
I have. Okay. I have. So maybe I will make. What's your prediction then?
No, my prediction is. I mean, this. Okay, let's. This goes right to some of the feedback. Is that there was a slant to this thing where it was almost like they were setting you up with the answer before you even got the results, which I wish they didn't do. Like as a vegan. Or close to vegan, I don't want them to give me all the other reasons of why being vegan is good for the planet. And, you know, I prefer they just stick to the science.
Yeah.
And that's what people are watching. They're asking.
It was a little bit misleading. The title was misleading. The title is exactly like the paper.
Yeah.
And the paper only talks about the scientific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, to make it more appealing, I guess, they added footage of the environment and how
factory
farms are. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first episode did a good job of talking about just the study and the science part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the second episode, it definitely, you could see there was a slant. You're right. And if you, so I did a little research on the people doing the study and all that. Yeah. The lead author is vegan.
Yeah.
And some of the doctors that they had on there commenting were all vegan and very big proponents of a vegan lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I also didn't like is that they didn't have any counterpoints at all. They didn't allow for healthy discussion between different kinds of physicians or dietitians. All the dietitians, the personal trainers, the physicians, they were all vegan.
Yeah, so, and I wonder, does that type of, you know, bias create a change in the results?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, these people are not blinded.
Sure. Yeah.
There's not a blinded study.
No, not at all.
So, like, if you are, you know, are you going to work out a little harder because you're on the vegan diet and, like, you know, because the trainer's vegan?
Is
he going to push you a little harder?
Or is the pushing you harder? Gonna, like, you work harder.
You just don't do anything.
You relax.
So that's why I feel like
you have another egg sandwich or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, these are little things that, you know, we're talking about a few percent change.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
these are very.
I'm not thinking that the changes are going to be. Well, I've seen them, but like in an 8-week study, you're not expecting huge changes anyway.
Right.
And so you're right. Could subtle, you know, your subtle biases change the outcome of the study? I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you did look at some of the stuff on Reddit or some of the comments that were people were. What was their?
Oh no! I'm trying to remember where I saw it. I think I was doing research on this series. It wasn't on the Netflix itself because I can't remember if Netflix has comments, but it was somewhere online. I found out I was just reading up about the study and the show, and people writing comments. And just like the world today, the comments fell into two opposite extremes. Some people said, this is the best study ever. This is so scientific, and it proves that the vegan way is the way to go.
The vegan way is the right way.
And then other people are like, this was such a biased study.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. These results don't count for anything because it was biased.
Yeah.
I would say I fall somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. I think it is a little bit biased, but I don't think we can throw out the whole thing.
Well, it's hard to change your blood results.
Right. Exactly.
It's hard to change your DEXA scan.
Right. There might be subtle differences, but you're not. Yeah. You're gonna get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on a whole, then, you know, after watching the first two episodes, do you think they did a service? Like, just where do you think this is? How beneficial is this?
I think that the study is really good. I think it adds to the evidence of what is good and what is what works and what doesn't work in terms of helping our cardiovascular outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that so that there's no really bias showing up in this study as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the show is a little bit different. I think that there is a little bit of bias there. The question is it enough to really change how people perceive a vegan diet or an omnivore diet?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the entire series, of three, especially episodes 3 and 4, are more likely to – everybody's kind of got to watch to see what they think.
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly the point. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back after watching episode 3 and 4 and let's talk about those results and, you know – poke holes in them or not. And see if it makes sense.
And look up what was it? TMNOA.
Yeah,
TMNAO.
TMAO, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, thank you, everyone. I hope that it worked, that this was helpful to you. Again, like and subscribe for the channel. And Dr. Maheshwari and myself are here for any comments you have. And we're looking forward to chatting with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Okay. Take care.